When Krishna left and end of Dwapara Yuga, they said, Krishna, where will we find you? Now that you've gone back to Golok, where can we find you? He said, you can find me in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. 10th canto, chapter 3, verse number 5. So this is the fifth verse of the first five verses of chapter 3, Krishna's Janma Leela, the birth of Lord Krishna. So we'll read the English for all five verses. This describes the auspicious atmosphere at the time of Krishna's birth. Thereafter, at the auspicious time for the appearance of the Lord, the entire universe was surcharged with all the qualities of goodness, beauty, and peace. The constellation Rohini appeared, as did stars like Ashwini. The sun, moon, and other stars and planets were very peaceful. All directions appeared extremely pleasing, and the beautiful stars twinkled in a cloudless sky. Decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds, the earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water, and the lakes and vast reservoirs full of lilies and lotuses were extraordinarily beautiful. In the trees and green plants, full of flowers and leaves, pleasing to the eyes, birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting with sweet voices for the sake of the demigods. A pure breeze began to blow, pleasing the sense of touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. And when the brahmanas engaging in ritualistic ceremonies ignited their fires according to Vedic principles, the fires burned steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Thus, when the birthless Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to appear, the saints and brahmanas, who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men, felt peace within the core of their hearts, and kettle drums simultaneously vibrated from the upper planetary system. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that his appearance, birth, and activities are all transcendental, and that one who factually understands them is immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept a material body according to his past deeds. Krishna's appearance is explained in the previous chapter. He appears out of his own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the constellation known as Rohini was also predominant, because this constellation is considered very auspicious. Rohini is under the direct supervision of Brahma, who is born of Vishnu, and it appears at the birth of Lord Vishnu, who in fact is birthless. According to the astrological conclusion, besides the proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to different situations of the different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. At that time, in all directions, east, west, north and south, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. Auspicious stars were visible in the sky and on the surface in all the towns and villages or pasturing grounds, and within the mind of everyone, there were signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of water, and the lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full of beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers. and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the Brahmanas, who were accustomed to offer sacrifices in the fire, found their homes very pleasant for offerings. Because of disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire had been almost stopped in the houses of the Brahmanas. But now, they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the Brahmanas were very distressed in mind, intelligence, and activities. But, just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy, because they could hear loud vibrations in the sky of transcendental sounds, proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the occasion of Krishna's birth, seasonal changes took place throughout the entire universe. Krishna was born during the month of September, yet it appeared like springtime. The atmosphere, however, was very cool, although not chilly, and the rivers and reservoirs appeared just as they would in Sharat, the fall. Lotuses and lilies blossomed during the day, but although Krishna appeared at 12 o'clock midnight, the lilies and lotuses were in full bloom, and thus the wind blowing at that time was full of fragrance. Because of Kamsa's disturbances, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies had almost stopped. The Brahmanas and saintly persons could not execute the Vedic rituals with peaceful minds. But now, the Brahmanas were very pleased to perform their daily ritualistic ceremonies undisturbed. The business of the Asuras is to disturb the Suras, the devotees and Brahmanas. But at the time of Krishna's appearance, these devotees and Brahmanas were undisturbed. Om Ganatam Randasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. This verse very wonderfully describes the setting, the external setting and nature, the star from the heavenly planets all the way down to the earthly planet. What was the situation at the time of Krishna's birth? And seeing all these auspicious symptoms, nakshatras and grahas and everything wonderful, all the astrologers and brahmanas could understand that, yes, the Lord is about to appear. Vishnu is about to appear. Because such a combination of auspicious elements only appears when the Lord comes to this planet. Just like now we have astrologers, and they're doing different calculations on the movements of the graha and nakshatra. And they're calculating that the way the planets are moving and the way the constellations, or what we call the stars, are moving, nakshatras, by 1998 and up to 2003, they'll be in a very bad position, very negative position, very inauspicious position. There'll be much graha yudhya, planetary fighting between planets and inauspicious nakshatras, and they are seeing that this is exactly the same combination of stars that were there at the beginning of World War II and other inauspicious times. So therefore, it doesn't take much reason or intelligence to draw a conclusion. You make an observation of facts, and then you draw a conclusion, a reasonable conclusion, based on your experience and based on your knowledge and based on your intuition, if you have intuition. So they're saying it looks bad. Future looks bad, materially. It's not exactly the time that Krishna is going to appear. However, we see that the Lord, He can appear at any time, in any place. And when He does appear, He creates a wonderful auspicious situation. Even before He appears, we can see Krishna hasn't appeared yet, but the Brahmanas are anticipating it. And because they're anticipating it, they're feeling the presence of the Lord. They have, in modern day, they have a term called ESP. ESP, extrasensory perception. In other words, some people, their fingers tingle. They have these auspicious symptoms when a lady's left hand is trembling or her left leg or something. It means she something auspicious. Or if it's a man's right leg or his right eyelid. So in the same way, some people are very sensitive and they can predict what is going to happen. They can feel something. So when the Lord is about to appear, the brahmanas could perceive it. They could feel it. And they became very joyful. And they started to freely perform their jagyas. Although they were being oppressed by King Kamsa, they were fearlessly and freely performing their fire sacrifices and chanting their mantras with full enthusiasm. Swaha, swaha. And as a result of the Lord about to appear, they became very joyful. Their minds became very peaceful. And they didn't feel any disturbance or oppression from Kamsa. They didn't feel his influence. So as we mentioned, the Lord can appear at any time. And when he does, he creates a very auspicious situation. So here in Delhi, of course, the Lord Ramachandra is waiting to appear. And Gornitai are waiting to appear. And they're just waiting for the auspicious time. When is that auspicious time? Everything has to be adjusted just correctly. And then they will appear. As it becomes closer and closer to their appearance, then the minds of the devotees will become peaceful and they'll become joyful, just like the brahmanas described here. We see in this verse there are some very interesting points. That at the time of the Lord's appearance, the whole universe was surcharged with the qualities of goodness, beauty, and peace. Goodness, beauty, and peace. Saundarya, and Shanti, and Sattva, goodness. But now if you look at the universe, the situation is there's not much beauty in the universe, and there's no peace anywhere. Within individuals, there is no peace. People's minds are disturbed, and countries are disturbed, villages are disturbed. The whole world is disturbed to one way or the other. And there's not much goodness. But when the Lord appears, he creates, he surcharges the whole atmosphere with that. So we can understand that when the new temple is open and Lord Ramachandra comes by his sweet will, as we heard in the purport, that Krishna appears by his sweet will. As we've mentioned before, when a king in an empire wants to install a deity of the Lord, he becomes inspired by the Supersoul. Just as Man Singh 500 years ago, he came to Vrindavan and he was visiting his Gurudev. His Gurudev was Raghunath Bhatta. And while he was visiting him, he said, "Oh, Bhatta Gosai, I'm feeling inspired. I want to do some seva in Vrindavan. I would like to build a temple." He felt inspiration. And then he asked his Gurudev, Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta, "Should I build a temple and install a deity?" He said, "No. Already we have Radha Govinda Dev. We have Govindaji, and my godbrother Rupa Goswami, he's worshipping in a very humble way. If you're inspired to build a temple and install deities, why don't you build a temple for Govindaji and have an Avirbhav, Murti Pratishtha installation ceremony for Govindaji?" So he did. But generally what happens is a pious religious king, a Vaishnava king, he will have a dream or he will somehow become inspired. Yes, I want to make a temple for my Ishtadev. I'm a Ram Bhakta. I'm a Vishnu Bhakta. I'm a Krishna Bhakta. I want to make a temple. And it's explained in Shilpa Shastra and Vastu Shastra that as soon as the king has this idea that yes, I want to make a temple for my Lord, that is the installation. The Lord has actually appeared. First he appears in the mind of the king when he has that desire. So the Lord already appears in the mind. And then the king, he goes to the brahmanas and he consults with them and he says, "I have this idea." And he consults with his ministers. And he said, "Very nice." So he transfers, so the installation goes from his mind to the minister's minds, to the brahman's mind. And then they go to the sthapati. The sthapati is the murti architect, carver, designer. And then they explain to him. And then he receives the installation, his mind and heart, and then he starts to carve. And when they're carving deities, these sthapatis, they don't have some picture, at least traditionally, they don't have some picture on the wall and they're doing a painting by numbers or something, like a little children's painting set. It has a drawing with little numbers on it. And number one, you paint green, number two, you paint blue. They don't have any kind of guide like that. They're simply chipping away at this marble or granite, generally granite. And they're chipping because they're seeing the Lord. And pretty soon his feet are there, his legs are there, everything manifests. So now the Lord has again appeared. And then he's waiting for his final appearance. So there's different gradual stages of the Lord's appearance. So Ramachandra has appeared here in Delhi since some time, in Gornitai. And now they're waiting. So they will create this atmosphere in the temple. They will surcharge the atmosphere of the temple with the qualities of goodness, peace, and beauty. What does it mean, beauty? Because Delhi is still helly. Delhi is helly and smelly. So even if Ramachandra comes here, I don't think it will not become Delhi and helly and smelly. But what it means is that the Sangha, the Vaishnav Sabha, the association of Vaishnavas will become very beautiful. The dealings from one devotee to another will become very beautiful. Because the real beauty of a devotee is his behavior. The real beauty of a devotee is how he treats others, how he sees Krishna in everyone's heart, and how he relates. That is beautiful. Like sometimes we see a person is physically very ugly or even deformed, but we make a comment, oh, she has such a wonderful personality. She's so joyful. She's so happy. Or he's so happy. And that person doesn't seem to be limited, or he doesn't even, and you may wonder, how is it possible? His body is completely ugly and deformed, and if I had a body like that, I would be miserable, I would always be unhappy, and always be lamenting, and be cranky and grouchy and nasty to everyone. But this person is not even paying any attention to his body. He's very friendly to everyone, very kind to everyone. We meet people like that throughout our life. We can't figure it out. A person has no arms, or they have leprosy, or whatever, but they're detached. So they're beautiful personality, beautiful behavior. So this is what happens when the Lord appears in the heart of the devotee, then he becomes beautiful. He becomes decorated with these three. He becomes surcharged with goodness, beauty, and peacefulness. That's why people say, they approach a devotee and they say, oh, the first question they ask someone in the sadhu vesh, a materialistic person, they'll say, oh sadhu baba. The first question he asks, he doesn't ask, who am I? What is the purpose of life? How can I get freedom from birth and death? He doesn't ask this. The first thing he asks, are you peaceful? Are you peaceful? And you can't say yes unless Krishna is in your heart. Unless you're perceiving Krishna. Because if Krishna is not perceived in your heart, you have to say, well, I'm trying. I'm trying to become peaceful. Actually, like you, I also get disturbed. I also get excited. I'm not very peaceful, to be frank with you. But anyway, I am on the path of peacefulness. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam yatma mam shantam richati. Krishna says in Gita, chapter 5, verse 29, the path of peacefulness is this path, to always see Krishna as the controller, as the owner, as the doer, as the enjoyer. So that we're on that path. We're trying to offer everything to Krishna as the enjoyer. So this is one point that's mentioned here. Of course, the directions appeared very pleasing, and all these different descriptions are there. And the Brahmanas, they began to offer their yajnas. So what this means is, their fires are burning steadily. In a Brahmana's house, generally if he's doing yajna every day, they have some akanda jyoti. They have some pot. And inside the pot there is a small fire burning. So when Kamsa was harassing them and oppressing all the Mathura Brahmanas, they kept their little pot going. Their little fire in the pot. But they didn't transfer the fire from the pot to the yajna shala, or to the yajna pit. And they have these big pits The deeper the pit, the more benefit you get. When you do a jugya, there's a big hole. And they put wood inside it. Wood inside that hole, it's a fire pit, or I can't remember the name. Fire pit, and so the deeper that hole, the more auspiciousness you get, and the more benefit. When we do a jugya, you see the devotees, they make some bricks. They put some bricks, and they put some sand, and then they jai parthasarthi ki jai. They put some bricks and cover it with sand, and then they say swaha. So the yagya, the hole, the yagya fire pit is not even 1 inch deep. But generally you see very, very deep. Sometimes 5 feet, 6 feet, 10 feet deep. Goes down in the ground, big hole. And it's shaped in a certain way, and so much wood is there, big fire. In South India you'll see. So the Brahmins, now they could understand Krishna's coming, so they went to their fire pits, and they started big fires, big homas. Big swaha, fires climbing the sky. Just like, and Prabhupada said here, that the fires are burning steadily. The fires burn steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Once in New York, when Prabhupada was doing a fire jugya for some grihastha couple, I don't think he was actually doing the jugya. I think one of his secretaries or someone was doing the jugya. And one brahmacharya, one lady, they were getting married, grihastha, vivaha jugya, in the mandir in New York. So they're making fire, and swaha, and the fire was just sputtering, we say sputtering, little fire. So, and then they told Prabhupada, they said, Prabhupada, we were doing the jugya, but the fire was very small. The flames were only going a little bit. And then when we put the bananas inside, the fire went out. And Prabhupada said, oh, this marriage is off to a bad start. This marriage is off to a bad start. You know, this, because if it's just a sputtering fire, it means that the marriage will maybe not be too successful. So then, of course, the husband and wife, Prabhupada's disciples, they were very disturbed to hear that. And Prabhupada was laughing. And they were very, almost, little crying almost. I said, no, anyway, because you're devotees, everything's auspicious. Because you're devotees. But generally, the bigger the fire, the more auspicious it is. Because that means that Agni Dev has come, he's accepted your offering, and his wife, Swaha, is very pleased. Mantras are chanted correctly, and everything goes nicely. Sometimes you make two big fires. Many times, there's many life members that will never forget the Hare Krishnas. So, this appearance of the Lord is being described here. It's a completely auspicious event. And we can see that if anyone claims, nowadays, if he appears and says that he's an avatar of Vishnu, or he's an avatar of Krishna, or he is Krishna, it's very easy to find out whether he's an avatar. You find his birth date, and then you just find out what were the constellations, what were the planets at that time. And unless they're the same, just like this Rohini Nakshatra. Rohini Nakshatra appears whenever there's appearance of Vishnu, or an avatar of Vishnu. That's what it said here. So anyone who claims to be an avatar, we can check very, very scientifically, according to the position of the graha, the planets and stars. And if they're not meeting the same, then we can understand the person is a charlatan. We can prepare ourselves for understanding that Krishna, the main reason he comes as Krishna in this age of Kali, at the juncture of Kali and Dwapara Yuga, is to attract the residents of Kali Yuga to his pastimes. He is known as Lila Purushottam. Purushottam means the Supreme Person, the topmost person, God Himself. But when He comes in Treta Yuga, He comes as Ram. And Ram comes as Maryada, Maryada Avatar, or Maryada Purushottam. He's very strict on Vidhi, Yama and Niyama, enforcing rules and regulations, and principles of Dharma, Vedic Dharma, Pati Dharma, Patni Dharma, all these things, Kshatriya Dharma. But then when Krishna comes, he doesn't care anything about Dharma. Look at the life of Krishna. It seems completely adharmic. He's running behind the cows, getting dragged through the cow dung. He's stealing butter and yogurt from people's houses. He's running off with the wives of all the coward men in the village. at night, and he's eating with monkeys? What kind of dharma is this? He sits down and eats his lunch with the monkeys. He eats his yogurt. He eats some yogurt and he feeds his friends. Come, come and enjoy. Sit down, enjoy. Bandur, bandur, bandu. Monkey friends. He calls. So, hi, this is God? He eats with monkeys? Your God, he eats his lunch with monkeys? The monkeys smell. You ever smell a monkey? The monkey stinks like anything. Monkeys smell and they eat with both hands and they just do anything crazy all the time. He's eating with monkeys. So, Krishna comes for Leela. He doesn't come to establish Dharma. He is completely adharmic. And in fact, he himself, when he speaks about Dharma, he says, forget about Dharma. When he speaks at Kurukshetra, he says, forget about Dharma. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't care about it, and you shouldn't care about it either. Sarva Dharman Prityaja. Throw it away. Forget about Dharma. Does Ram say that? Ram doesn't say Sarva Dharman Prityaja. Ram says Dharma, Dharma, Dharma. Dharmavir. He's Dharmavir. He's standing on the strength and courage and power of Dharmic principles. And he'll do anything to uphold Dharma. But Krishna will do anything to break Dharma. He'll do anything and everything to break Dharma. So if you're attached to Yama Niyama, if you're attached to rules and regulations, then you can never accept Krishna as your Ishtadev. In fact, many people are like that. They say, oh no, I know Ram is God. Ram is God, Narayan is God. This Krishna, Tikne. What is this? He's not God. He's some kind of, I don't know, he's Vaishya or Kshatriya. You don't know what his Gotra is or what. He's, you know, when he wanted to be a Kshatriya, but he couldn't fool anyone in Vrindavan, so he tried to go to Mathura and be a Kshatriya, but it didn't work there either. So then he went far, far away to a distant village. And when he went there, he said, oh, you know, I'm a Kshatriya. But everyone knows that he's the son of Nandan Yashoda. He's the son of Nandan Yashoda, and they're Vaishyas, they're coward men. Dvibhuj Krishna, two-armed Krishna is the son of Yashoda and Nanda. But Vasudeva and Devaki, they were praying so intently and performing austerities because they wanted God as their son. They wanted God as their son. And the idea they had of God was Vishnu. So Vishnu came as their son, four-armed form, in Mathura. But at the same time, Krishna was appearing as Yashoda's son. Because they are the eternal mother and father. They didn't do austerities to become Krishna's mother and father. They didn't desire. It was a pure desire. It was the best desire. What a wonderful desire in Vatsalya Bhav. That Prishni, I think their names were Prishni and Sutapa. In previous life, they desired, oh, let God be our son. And we can render so much service and love him so much. But how is that possible? So they consulted the sages and the rishis. They said, you must do so much tapasya. You must control yourself and restrict yourself. So they did thousands of years of tapasya. So then Krishna came as Vishnu, Narayan, Chaturbhuj Narayan. He appeared as their son. And they were so happy. So people say Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha. But Bhaktisananda Saraswati in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, he quotes from Padma Purana to explain that Devaki is also another name of Yashoda. Dvinam Yashoda Devaki Nam. Explain that she has two names. Yashoda has two names. One of her names is Devaki. So Krishna is actually the son. Krishna, Manohar, Muralidhar, Govinda, Gopal, he is the son of Yashoda. And he always appears in Vrindavan. And he never takes a step out of Vrindavan. Vrindavanan Prityajat Na Ekam, never takes a step out of Vrindavan. He never leaves. Ekapadam. Nagachati. Ekapadam Nagachati. He never takes one. Ekapadam. Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. So how was he born in a prison house? He's not. He's born as eternal son of Nanda Yashoda. But how to adjust? Because the devotees, they want Krishna to appear before him. So he takes different forms to please them and satisfy them. So Krishna, he came as Leela Purushottam. Why did he come? He didn't come to establish Dharma. He didn't come for any purpose other than one thing, to attract us to his Prem Leela. He wanted to attract us to his Braja Prem Leela. That was his purpose. He wanted to attract us. See how I'm playing, see how I'm dancing. This is Braja Prem. Vatsalya Prem, Madhurya Prem, Sakya Prem. Please, you be attracted. Don't worry about anything else. Forget about everything else. Just think of me as your child. Think of me as your friend. Think of me as your lover. Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto. Manmana Bhav. Vatsalya Bhav, Madhurya Bhav, Sakya Bhav. Think of me. This is all that Krishna asked. He didn't say to perform any dharma, follow any rules and regulations. He said, think of me in love. Manmana Bhav. Bhav means love. So he showed all these leelas, all these love-saturated leelas, these prema-saturated leelas, so that somehow, some way, we would be attracted. We would see it, and somehow we would, the Kali Yuga residents would hear a song. There's so many songs about Radha and Krishna and leela in Hindi and Bengali. We would hear a song, we would see a movie on TV, we would see a Ras Leela performance, we would read the Bhagavatam. Somehow we would contact Krishna's Prema Leela, his Braja Prema Leela, and by that contact, we would become Karshan, Krishna, Karshan, attracted, impelled, forcefully pulled and drawn towards the lotus feet of Krishna. That was his purpose. However, unfortunately, the people of Kali Yuga were so doggedly obstinate and rigidly opposed to the leela of the Lord, not that many people surrendered to Krishna and gave up dharma. So many people held on to their dharma and rejected Krishna. So then Krishna said, all right, I have to go again. I must go again. This is his karuna, his compassion. So then, just 500 years later, after Krishna left, 4,500 years ago, 4,500 years after he left, then he came again. He came as the Prema Avatar. First he came as Ram in Treta Yuga to establish rules and regulations and Dharma. Then he came as Krishna, as Leela Avatar, to attract us to his Leela and throw away all the Dharma. And then he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Prem Purushottam, the Prem Avatar, to give us that Prema. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Just take it. Just give it. Throw it in our lap. Put it in our heart. And he said, you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to think of me. Lord Chaitanya didn't even say manmana. Krishna gave a 4-point program. Lord Ram gave 1,000 points. He gave 1,000 points of dharma. You have to follow all the shrutis and the smritis, and you have to do all this dharma and all these yamas and niyamas. So many points he gave. And Krishna came and said, forget all that stuff. Do 4 things. What are those 4 things? Manmana, think of me. Manmana bhavamad bhakto, mad bhakto, become my devotee. Manmana bhavamad bhakto, madhyaji ma namaskru, worship me. Worship me, yaji and namaskru, offer obeisances. So Krishna came and said, look, don't do anything, do 4 things. Think of me, become my devotee, do some puja, offer me a flower or something, and offer respects. But the Lord Chaitanya came, he didn't say that. He said, oh, these people won't even do these 4 things. In Kali Yuga, they won't even do the... Krishna asked for 4 things. They won't even do that. So the Lord Chaitanya said, all right. He said one thing. What did he say? Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Bolo. That's all he said. That's all he said. And then he wrote a prayer and said, Niyamata, Yamata. He said, there's no rules and regulations. Not even 4 things you have to do. Just do this one thing. Of course, Krishna said that also in Gita, Kirtaniya Sadahari. But he said other things. So Lord Chaitanya came as a Prem Avatar, Prem Purushottam, Supreme Personality of Godhead, giving this Braja Prem. How did he give it? He said, just do one thing. Please chant Hare Krishna. See? Sada japyate. So always do your job. Japa. But we're not always doing job. The sign is doing job, but we aren't. The only one always doing japa here is the sign. He's doing 16 rounds, 32, 64. Maybe some devotees, you can come in here and sit under the sign for 2 hours. Then you go to the temple president. He said, you chant your rounds? Oh yes, I chanted. You can come and sleep under the sign. You can come and sleep under the sign for 2.5 hours, because it takes 2.5 hours to chant 16 rounds. Temple president, you chanted your rounds? Oh yes, yes, I chanted my rounds. You know, the sign was going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So this isn't what we want. So the appearance of Krishna is such an auspicious event. How to synthesize? Because in Gita, Krishna appears to be preaching Dharma at Kurukshetra when he says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. He says, whenever there's a dharmasya glani, whenever there's a break in Dharma, I come myself to reestablish the principles of Dharma. So how do we adjust what Krishna is saying and what the speaker is saying about Krishna says, forget about Dharma? First of all, that's a fact that Krishna's various avatars, the dasa avatars, they come for that purpose. But Krishna himself, he does not have to come to do that. This is done. He does it. He establishes Dharma through the other avatars. But when Krishna comes, when the Lila Purushottam comes, that's done just like when Krishna kills demons in Vrindavan Lila. He's not killing demons. Vishwanath and Sanatan say that because he's the avatari, all the avatars are within Krishna. All the das avatars, all the 24 forms of Vishnu, all the different Lila, Guna, all the different avatars are within Krishna. So when a demon, Putana or whatever, any demon comes, then the Vishnu within Krishna comes out and establishes Dharma. Krishna doesn't deal with it. Krishna, he steals butter, he plays a flute, he dances, that's it. And he wants to show his Leela. This Dharma activity is done by Krishna through the agency of his Vishnu Roop, his Vishnu expansions. So he says that in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that he comes to establish Dharma and protect the sadhus. I come as my avatars to do that. But then he gets to the ninth chapter where he says, you should think of me. He talks about Bhav. And even in the sixth chapter, in the verse 30, Yomam Pashati Sarvatra, Krishna starts to speak about Gopi Bhav. Starts to reveal the mentality of the gopis who are seeing him everywhere. And then he goes on to 9th chapter where he says, always think of me. And then again he repeats it in the 18th chapter. And in the same 18th chapter, which is a conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, although 4th chapter he talks about establishing Dharma, his final word is, forget it. Sarva Dharman Prityaja. So this is how we adjust these different statements. When the mind is fixed on Krishna, because Krishna is Rasam, Akila Rasamrita Murti, he is the very form, his Murti, his form is Akila Rasamrita Murti, is full of Ras. What is that Ras? That Ras is Bhav. Ras means Madhurya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, sub Rasas are there, all Rasas are there. When your mind becomes fixed on Krishna in bhava, or you place your mind in that state of existence, in existence on Krishna's feet, on Krishna's pastimes, then that contact with the Akila Rasamrita Murti, your mind's contact with the form of Krishna produces bhav in your mind. There's 3 stages of devotion. Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. So if you become a bhava, you become Krishna's devotee, means you become a bhava bhakta. And to become a bhava bhakta, but bhava bhakta means the ray of the sun. If the ray comes, then later the sun comes. So if you become a bhava bhakta, then shortly you become a prema bhakta. A green mango has only one way, only goes in one direction. A green mango becomes a ripe mango. So green mango means bhava bhakti. So when Krishna says, man mana bhava, bhava, bhava mad bhakto, you become my devotee, it means you become my bhava bhakta, and my prema bhakta. It appears that Krishna has a split personality, because he sometimes preaches. Split personality means you say one thing and you do another thing, or you act in a contrary way, unpredictable way. So he cited different examples in Krishna Leela and Vrindavan, how Krishna would attract the different members of the community, the Brajakumaris, and with his stealing their garments, Gopi Vastraharana, and the gopis and Ras Lila, the older gopis, married gopis by playing his flute. And then when they would come there, then he would preach Dharma, you can see. In one place he preaches, actually preaches Karma Yoga. In one place he preaches Karma Yoga, then he preaches Dharma, he also preaches Grihastha Dharma to the gopis. Oh, you have your husbands at home, this is not good for a lady. So he preaches very expertly in 10th canto, the principles of Dharma for a Grihastha. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is written by Shuka Muni, spoken by him, written by Vyasadeva, in such a way that there's inner meaning and outer meaning. For the, you can say, for the one level of devotee, the devotee is attached to Dharma, he can look at the Bhagavatam and he can say, look, Krishna is, he's preaching Dharma. He was actually doing his best to teach these girls the right thing to do. And it wasn't his fault that they didn't go home. He preached to them to go home and be their husbands. They insisted on staying there, so Krishna's not to blame. He's actually quite a dharmic fellow. He preached Dharma, but the gopis there, the gopis were bad. The gopis, Krishna's innocent. He's actually, they stayed there, they wouldn't go, so he said, well, as long as you're here, we might as well dance. Or as long as you're here, I might as well steal your clothes. Although he preached Dharma. So there's an outer meaning, so someone might say, no, Krishna, he's actually very dharmic. He's preaching Dharma to the gopis. He was just in the woods playing his flute. He was in the forest, minding his own business. He was just playing some tunes. And all these girls went crazy and went out to see him. He didn't send anybody invitations in their home or call them on the telephone. Please, Lalita Sakhi, you come and meet me. Ovishaka Sakhi, you come and meet me. He didn't give any invitation. He went for a walk in the moonlight. It's a beautiful moonlit night. He went for a walk along the Yamuna. He played his flute. He's innocent. God is entitled to take a walk. If we can take a walk in the park at night, why can't God take a walk? So he took a walk and he played the flute, and all the gopis came. He said, hey, Hare, what are you doing here? What, you came out to pick flowers, or you came out to see the moonlight? It's a dangerous place. There's so many tigers here and scorpions under the leaves and snakes, you might get bitten when you pick a flower. Go home. You have your husbands. And then they were rebellious. They said, no, we can't go home. We don't want to go home. It's too far away. We want to stay here. So that's the external meaning. That people might say, well, it seems that Krishna is quite proper. He's preaching Dharma, but these gopis, they're bad girls. They're very bad. Now the inner meaning that our acharyas bring out, our Rasika Vaishnavas, they bring out, because everything has two sides. But in spiritual life, everything has many sides. Many, many sides. According to your bhav, you see things differently. According to your love, according to your emotion, according to your realization. How you see now, how you see Krishna, how you see the deities, how you see the holy name, will not be the same as you see the deities and you see the holy name in 50 years. It can't be. If it is, you won't be here. Because your realization is expanding and changing, and your vision is changing due to the increase in prema within your heart. As love increases within your heart, then you see differently, appreciate differently. So the realized souls that are prema bhaktas, when they look at the Bhagavatam, they try to see from the angle of vision of Sukadeva Goswami, and they try to perceive into the reality of what is really going on. So therefore, realized souls like Vishwanath Chakravartipad, when they take the same section of Bhagavatam that Radharaman is citing, where Krishna is speaking Dharma, like he says, this is a very, very, very bad for you to be out here alone and without your husbands, and you should go home and be with your husbands. So Vishwanath explains, actually what Krishna is saying here in the Sanskrit is, oh Gopikas, it's very proper for you to have left your husbands and come out to me in the dead of night. Because actually, I am the husband of all living entities. I am the apati, I am the husband of all living entities, because I am God. So it is very intelligent of you. So he takes the whole dialogue, he has a whole dialogue, and which is there also in our Bhagavatam, you can read, it's no secret. In our purports of the 10.2 Bhagavatam, He takes all the dialogues and turns them around and shows how this is all for rasa. That it's simply lila, it's Krishna's lila, the gopis are coming, and he's saying, oh, it's very good you've come, and don't be afraid of the dark, and because it's a very dark night, because on one side, he says, it's very dark out here. You must be afraid. You better go home under the protection of your husbands. Then Vishwanath explains that what he's really meaning is saying, oh, gopikas, it's a very dark night, and there are ferocious animals like tigers and lions moving about here. You don't have to worry about your husbands coming out here because they will be too afraid of the dark and too afraid of the lions. So don't be afraid. They won't come out and find you. So he takes everything and turns the other way around. So this is the actual meaning for the devotee. For the moralist, for the Vedic Dharmist, or the Dharmavadi, whatever you call it, he will see that external side of Bhagavatam, and he will find support for his position or find support for his angle of vision. But for the devotee, for the Brajabhakta, or for the Prema Bhakti, he will see a different flavor. He will taste a different flavor and see a different relationship going on. Because Bhagavatam is many, many facets, very deep. This is the Param Shastra, the topmost Shastra. So we, by the vision of the Acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Sridhar Swami, and Vishnu Chakravartipad, we can get some idea. Oh, how interesting. You read their purports. But Krishna is known everywhere as Lila Purushottam. This is known by all the Shastras, Lila Purushottam.